Well, you know, if Oprah buys the L.A. Clippers, Stedman's going to want a coach. Then when Gail King gets the job, he's going to be hurt. Well, what do you know?
Live from San Francisco, California to Charleston, South Carolina, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know? Wisconsin author Nicholas Butler. All the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know? Is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who looks dashingly hip in his magic Mushroom Mifflin tee, it's Michael Feldman.
Glen Block party. Time to get your party on today at Mifflin Block Street party. We're all just getting out of here. We're going to head down there right
You're
now.
You're a little old for that, aren't you?
What is that, my conscience?
Michael.
Why would my brain have John Tulin's voice? That's a very annoying development. Very annoying. Well, anyhow, getting back to Oprah and the Clippers, the Oprah Clippers. I like the sound of it. Thank you. It would be good for Stedman to do something, you know, have something to do. So that's a good thing. Stedman did tell Oprah, don't be bringing any black men around here. And he doesn't usually speak in the vernacular, actually. So he was pretty upset, I think, about the whole thing. The good thing about the Oprah Clippers, a gift box under every seat. Certainly no gifts on the court. And all the non-Clipper news, if any, Rob Ford to Betty Ford. Hello? Just John can hear me, isn't it? Weird. Mr. Ford, when did you first become aware that you might have a problem? After doing exclusive research into the subject, the University of Colorado Boulder has decided to admit Neanderthals. Because they're no different than you and me. Well, you, I'm not so sure. Minimum wage boost fails in the Senate because they pay enough for yard work as it is. Gosh, darn it. Russia tells U.S. to transport astronauts to space station with trampoline. No, because they're Russian. They don't use the us and things and the these. So someone's feeling pretty cocky about themselves over there, I'll tell you that. All hammer and sickly over in Russia. And for what? Seizing Crimea? Dane County could have seized Crimea. Increased the tax base would have been a good thing. I'm just saying, cover me, will you? Because I may have to leave here. I'm going down to the block party.
I don't want to interrupt.
It's all about the block party as far as I'm concerned. Meanwhile, teenage mutant Russian separatists take over the post office in Dnipropetrovsk. A valued stamp cancellation, by the way. You get Dnipropetrovsk on your letter. It increases the value tremendously. In Ukraine in general, a T-Partsky on the upswing. They're going to the ramparts. Okay. I don't know these people, and yet they make a great white Russian. I can't figure these people out. All right. Voter ID is ruled really stupid in Wisconsin. When's the last time someone stole your identity to vote? If you think about it, it doesn't happen all at all. I suppose it could have happened. Governor Walker and the boys say they're willing to compromise with voter wrist tattoos. Put a number right about here, and that will last. Marrying a very politically progressive gal, George Clooney, is forced to ethically mine a 7-carat diamond himself. Hard ethically mining, you know, you can't use any like machines and stuff, I think, number one. You got to do it yourself. You can't make anyone do it. Sterling banned for life in the NBA, so that's what, 6-7 years? possibly less. Speaking of Israel, in case you were, John Kerry says he never said apartheid. He said apartheid. He's a partayer, John Kerry. An Ohio Baptist University shuts down an LGBT-friendly newspaper after learning the B is not for Baptist. Came as quite a shock. Moviegoers leaving Spider-Man 2 said to be visibly shaken after seeing Spidey being eaten by his mate in the film. Consumed, I mean. Okay. All's well that ends well with Paul Simon and what's her name, the skinny tall one with the annoying voice. Okay, yeah, her. They are releasing a new single together, I Got You, Babe. And the video is great. They do Sonny and Cher. They dress as Sonny and Cher for the video. Instant classic. At auction, Dylan's copy of Like a Rolling Stone expected to bring $2 million, while Like a Rolling Rock is just $6. They stick together in this humidity, you know. I'm not pausing for effect. Okay, at the Wisconsin Republican Convention in Milwaukee, some of the more progressive Republicans want to secede. There's some confusion. They may think it's succeed. Some of the delegates aren't. But it's actually secede if you read it, guys. S-E-C-E-D-E is not succeed. A good workaround for the Republicans might be if all the Republicans left. They could secede. It'd be like a Republican rapture. Yeah. They'd all go to the UP or something. Shoot up and go to the UP. It's a short ways. They could walk, probably. Governor Walker has not said if he would run for potentate of a new sovereign badger state. But those in the know say it's not the kind of thing you run for. You just seize that. Potentates seize their jobs. They don't have to run for them. Rob Ford is back to Betty Ford. Governor and Mrs. Tonette Walker want the wheelchair ramp moved from the mansion. You read about this, a big deal around here. To FDR. Okay, gotta be a certain age to groan at that. The Committee on Public Access to Buildings has said, no way, taking the ramp out of the governor's mansion. It is worth noting that Scott Walker, one of the 100 most influential people in the world, can't get a ramp removed from his house. That his wife really wants gone, really, really. Newly sober Zac Efron reveals that his name is actually Jack Saffron. It just slurs to Zac Efron. Isaac, good to see you again. The Milwaukee Brewers dog, Hank, brings down one of the racing Clement Polish sausages and eats his liver before the groundskeeper can shoot him. So almost a tragedy at Miller Park. Almost lost a sausage. U.S. consumer spending surges 0.1% in March. Well, surge. It is a number, positive. A Wisconsin Congressman Paulie Ryan moving on up to the Black Congressional Caucus. He'll be the token Caucasian. This is this took me so long to work out even the beat on this joke. Caucasian, yeah. That you should appreciate it more. Rob Ford out of Betty Ford. As a convenience, Wisconsin will raise the maximum political donation to $6.8 million, so you won't have to spread around $680,000 donations. That's where the convenience comes in, see. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra announces its pot-friendly version of the 1812 Overture. Giant bongs will be fired as bells ring across Denver. I want to be there for it. And today kicks off Old Timers Riot Day. at the Mifflin Street Block Party and Riot for 2014. So, class of 70, I'm talking to you, wrap your ties around your foreheads, make love, not war, peace up. Mifflin, thank you very much. That's all I got. Oh, yeah, I was here. Oh, sure I was. I was here for the original one. Yeah, when Paul Soglin got arrested. That was fun. They did that a lot, though.
They probably meant to arrest you, and he got confused in the crowd.
Well,
and
I was standing up with the nuns.
Oh.
They had the nuns were down there trying to quell things. It was on Bassett Street.
Yeah.
Everybody threw their furniture out. You know, in those days, everyone lived in those slums down on Bassett and Broome Street and all that stuff. You know, and they all had those end tables. You know, those stupid end tables that whoever used that, you could get them at Goodwill or whatever. They were little end tables. No one ever used them. You knock your shins into them when you walk. You know, there's no reason for them. They're too low to reach to, and they're too small to put anything on, you know. So anyhow, so they threw all those out in the street because the police car, they blocked the street, you know. And the police cars came. It was a memorable moment for me. Yeah. Squad cars racing down the street and end tables flying. Beautiful moment. To me, that's the 60s in a nutshell. End tables flying off the street there. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Is he here? Is Nicholas here?
Yeah.
Okay, good. He's backstage? I didn't even know we had a backstage. Shotgun Love Songs, the name of his book, Nicholas Butler. First novel. It's going through the roof, ladies and gentlemen. All about Wisconsin and related topics. So, okay, I brought the map here. Because we're going to nail it. What's this town you got in the book called Little Wing?
Little Wing, right.
Little Wing.
Yeah.
And it's south of Eau Claire.
Right.
Okay, so I've narrowed it down to several here. Okay, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm going to take these off to see it. It's not Altoona.
It's not Altoona.
No, Altoona is too close. It's like in greater Eau Claire.
It's in the metro.
Yeah, it's in the metro. So we go down here. I'm thinking Brackett.
Not Brackett.
Cleghorn.
I live near Cleghorn. It's not Cleghorn.
Okay. Kerryville, Rock Falls.
Colder.
So, colder? So let's go back to Cleghorn. Fall Creek.
That could be a part of it. It's kind of a composite of a bunch of towns, but that's...
Come on, tell me. You can tell me. Who's listening? Nobody listens to the show.
I think if you drag your finger a little bit further south and west, maybe you'd be...
Foster!
No, not Foster.
Allen? No, this is in the wrong county. Oliva?
Yeah.
Oliva's in the wrong county, though.
That's okay.
That's it? Oliva?
Yeah.
What? It's in Trempealeau.
That's okay.
It's not okay. It's out
of
Eau Claire County.
It had to be in Eau Claire County?
Yes.
Oh, nobody told me that.
I'm very disappointed. I don't think I can talk to you about that. How are you? Pretty good?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, the book's doing good, huh?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you wrote it. I mean, it wasn't like a lightning bolt struck you.
Well, but you don't know what's going to happen after it. I mean, you don't anticipate that it's even necessarily going to be published, let alone well-received or purchased at a bookstore. So.
Because your job history doesn't indicate a lot of publishing success.
My job... I mean, not just publishing success. I mean, not really success in my job history.
Okay. So. I'm not trying to beat you over the head with it. I think we all have got to start somewhere.
No, it's okay.
What about liquor stores and...
Liquor store.
Holding them up or what?
We never were held up, which...
I thought you were doing it.
No. I was a meat packer. I was a office manager, innkeeper a couple times.
Yeah.
All sorts of just.
So you got a good
jokes.
Resume in a lot of areas.
Yeah, I'm a generalist, I guess.
And then, when did you know you wanted to write?
I think I've always been writing in some form since like my teenage years. But I think when my son was born, that was kind of a, you know, something had to happen. Either I had to start taking it seriously, or
the son, or the writing.
No. Both.
Yeah.
But,
the first one you take seriously, the second and third ones, not so much.
Yeah. That's a little true.
So that was how many years? How old is your son now?
My son is 4.5.
4.5.
So he's only been writing, in the audience.
You've been writing that long? You've been writing before that, but you got. Because you tried to get into writing schools, And, yeah. And Chippewa wouldn't have you. Chippewa Falls.
They wouldn't have
at
me.
At the tech school.
No.
But you got in the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, it worked out.
You bounced back nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I applied a couple times at different MFA programs, and nobody took me. And then one year I got really lucky and hit the jackpot.
They get it in Iowa.
They're wonderful.
How great was that to get into Iowa?
It was... I remember the day very vividly. I was at Star Liquor and working. I was working there.
Oh, you're working at Star Liquor. Huh?
And
you're in town?
Yeah, here in town. And
I used to go in there in the basement once in a while. In the old days.
I spent a lot of time in the basement. the phone rang and one of my coworkers said, "Hey, somebody named Sam Chang from the Iowa Writers Workshop's on the phone." And I took the phone to the back of the liquor store. I was sitting on a bunch of Foster oil keg cans, and AC/DC was playing, and she said, "Where are you?"
I said, "Perfect or what?"
It was, well, it's perfect for my story, but yeah, she said, "You know, where are you?" I said, "In a liquor store." And she said, "What are you doing there?" And I said, "I work here." And and there was kind of a pause while I think that got digested, but yeah.
Now they're used to you, though, huh? Pretty much. Are you still moonlighting at the liquor store?
No, but I had a lot of fun working there.
Yeah.
Too much fun, maybe.
And now the book itself, Shotgun Love Songs, really is a series of songs, song-like episodes, you could say. It's all based on basically on songs, isn't it?
That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm going to call this off right now because I'm never getting any better than that. But this is the Bon Iver guy.
Justin Vernon.
Justin Vernon. I was going to get to it. Is he a friend of yours?
I haven't seen Justin in like 15 years, but we went to high school together.
Oh, he did. Cool. Was he like that in high school too?
He's a really cool guy.
Yeah,
he really is. He was always into music and just kept after it. And we all knew what his struggles were like in his late teens, early 20s. And then when he hit it, it was just kind of a wonderful moment for the whole community. Yeah. I think the state, actually. I mean, the more I travel, the more I realize that his influence is pretty amazing.
Just from all the bands he started. Yeah. They spread out, and they reproduce, and reproduce.
Yeah.
And
he's all over the place. Yeah. And I haven't talked to him in a long, long time, but somehow...
Has he read this?
I don't think so, but his parents have. And they send me really
like,
nice
someone
emails.
Like him, very much like him as a character in this book.
Yeah.
Lee.
Right, yeah. And I tell people that character is influenced by, Justin, inspired by him, but not based in any way.
Does Justin, can he hear sunsets?
I don't know. Actually, the sunset thing is...
somebody else.
Homage to my... homage, I'm never sure how you pronounce that, to my best friend Josh Swan, who was trying to woo a lady and was describing how the sunset sounded these different ways. Yeah. And it was one of
Shut up, I'm listening to the sunset.
It was very impressive.
You didn't have a lot of ladies, actually, after that incident. I still talk about that. All right, Shotgun Love Song. And so this basically is a group of friends who were friends since those days, childhood and high school and all those years. Coming back again, and their lives are all radically different, and yet not, in most of the cases, except for Lee, who's become a star.
Yeah.
So he comes back to his old hometown of Little Wing, which we know now is not even in Eau Claire County. Right. Trempealeau, for God's sake. Trempealeau. And what ensues there. So it's like a coming together stuff, and they go through their lives, both past and present, and also what fate has dealt them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think for one thing, the book kind of centers a lot around weddings, and that was because my wife and I had a 2-year period where we were going to kind of between 5 to 7 weddings a summer, and so weddings were really forefront in my mind while I was writing the thing, but also this kind of set of issues that you hit in your early 30s where, why is somebody made a pile of money and somebody else is really struggling? Why is it so easy for one couple to have kids and another couple really struggling, And,
yeah. This guy Lee is idolized on the one hand, but presented in a way another hand because, they can never have anything that he's able to have now because they'll always still be living there.
Yeah. I think a lot of it is, resentment's kind of a strong word, but I think it's just... Well, I don't know. Maybe it's accurate. Jealousy? Is jealousy and resentment the same thing?
I find it. I resent those I'm jealous of. I don't know if I'm jealous of those I resent, though. That doesn't, I don't think it works that way. So.
Yeah.
Okay. And actually, you know, in telling their stories, and there's a lot, each chapter is another character speaking.
Right.
By the way, you do women pretty good, I think.
Thank you.
Congratulations on
Thanks.
That.
Yeah.
Updike never got that one. So you're way ahead in the game and all that stuff. And now, who's the guy who did the mill over?
That's Kip. Yeah.
Kip.
Yeah.
Who's kind of a jerk.
A jerk, yeah.
And he becomes a bond trader in Chicago or whatever. So it gives you some idea where he's at. You
know? Yeah.
Goes from Little Wing to a bond trader in Chicago.
Right.
And he's very ambitious and all that stuff. And he redoes the mill is sort of the symbol of the town, isn't it, then?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and when we were looking at the map earlier, I think one thing that I was thinking about was, well, there are two things I was thinking about. One, this best friend, Swan, that I was talking about earlier, he had a boat shop in Mount Horeb inside an old feed mill, and so I spent a lot of time with him in there, and so that was part of it. The other thing was in downtown Aliva, there's an old mill that somebody has totally refurbished.
So it is Aliva.
And I tell people it's kind of like an amalgam of different towns.
Yeah, okay,
you know?
I know you say that.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah.
So that's where the mill came from. But it's also a metaphor for this town in some ways, for what it used to be and what it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's true, and it became a bigger thing the more I wrote the book. My agent said, "Why is this mill here? There, you know, what's the mill for? I feel like that needs to play a bigger part in the book," and so. Just kept kind of following up on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a symbol when it was a booming farm community and things were going really well. And there's even a railroad came to the mill and all that.
Yeah.
So it was thriving. And then in disrepair in the youth of these, they would go up there and break windows and set off explosions and things like that. And it was totally decrepit and flooded.
Yeah.
And this Kip decides he wants to do one good thing in his life, basically.
Yeah.
This guy is looking, he knows that he's not good with people and he's wrong thinking and all that, but that makes him really a good character, I think.
Yeah, I think he starts off the book kind of as a villain, and the more I wrote it, the more I thought, it's just not fair to him that I don't really know that many villains. And I just kind of began inserting, I think, what are all the weaknesses in my own character, you know, moments where I think I could have done better by that person, or I wish I'd done something different, and put that into him, and he's actually kind of my favorite character in the book. So.
Yeah, mine too, actually. And would you mind reading?
Of course, yeah.
I would love it if you could. You know that description that Kip gives when he's talking about what he sees when he looks out from the. It's, I don't know if they're up on the bridge or something like that, and he's looking over this part of Wisconsin.
Sure.
And what he sees around him, what he thinks about Wisconsin. Yeah. He's the guy who brings it all together. The whole Wisconsin. Yeah. Idea behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so I hope you got a dog eared because I'm not.
No,
sure
I don't know. Have it in here. I know.
Live radio.
Yeah, you wrote the book though.
Uh oh, wait. No,
It's in a. No. It'll be in a chapter with a K.
Right.
At the beginning.
No, Michael.
Yeah. I should have dog eared it.
Can I just read something at random? We could
yeah,
be
you
here
could,
forever.
You could, but I sort of like that because.
Okay. You keep talking.
Brings it all together. We could take a pause here.
We might want to take a pause.
No,
here.
No, we're not taking a pause. We'll just read something that you like in there.
Okay.
Okay.
What's There's nice? Some curse words in here. I have to probably be careful of that, don't I?
Don't use the curse words. Right. Use their convenient sound-alikes.
convenient
sound-alikes. You don't want to flub this up for me.
okay, here we
I'm
go.
I'm hanging by a
here
thread.
We go. Here we go.
Yes.
13, 14 years ago, we used to go... Will you stop me at some point so
sure.
I'm not just rambling?
Stop.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
13, 14 years ago, we used to go up there with a backpack full of pilfered beer, maybe a joint or two or three. I never smoked, but they did, Lee and Henry and Ronnie. We were always up there, especially during summer when there was nothing else to do. The feed mill was closed then, derelict, and it always seemed to be on the brink of being razed, but then someone would put up a big stink, hold a town meeting, maybe even throw a fundraiser, a pig roast, a bake sale, raffle off a new Ford pickup, and the mill sentence would be stayed. The taxes would get paid, and there would be rumors of some out-of-town messiah come to save the day, some corporation come to breathe new life into those old beams and bricks and stones. other buildings, beautiful buildings, were demolished. The old depot, the original post office, even an old opera house. A four-story hotel that in later years became first a flop house for migrant workers, bikers, Vietnam vets, then later something like a nursing home. The building so old it lacked an elevator shaft. The most feeble of the building's occupants were always lodged on that first floor. On soft spring evenings, crisp autumn afternoons, many of them sitting on the elevated front porch, an architectural remnant of the America Old West, the frontier. They rolled wheelchairs out there or sat on the porch swings, rocking, watching the sporadic traffic on Main Street. On the 4th of July, those geezers clutched small American flags in their trembling hands, waved them at the morning parade, and then in the weeks and months that followed, still waved them at pedestrians, at funeral processions, the after-church crowd rushing home for Sunday football, until the red, white, and blue fabric faded and frayed at the edges. My grandpa lived there. You're going to let me keep going?
Yeah, no, I like it. It's good.
My grandpa lived there for 2 years before he died. We used to visit him on Friday evenings in the old hotel's tall-ceiling dining room. The room was dimly lit, and what light did enter the space seemed to pass mostly through ancient, warped windows, the glass thicker at the bottom of the pane than at the top. I imagined another time when candles and kerosene threw a different kind of golden light onto linen tabletops. We ate poached cod, mashed potatoes, peas, dinner rolls. My grandpa picked fish bones from his dry mouth and set them on the rim of his plate. It always took him a long time to remove the bones from his mouth, as if he had swallowed a hook himself. There was a bar in there, too, and rumors that once upon a time, way back, the hotel had been a brothel. Sometimes you would see an old man or an old woman at the bar peering around for a bartender, saying in a sad, confused voice, "All I want is a taste, just a little taste." But the bar had been bereft of bottles since the flop house evolved into a nursing home.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ah.
That there is good writing, son.
Thanks so much for having me.
You wrote that good. And it really conveys the whole feel, both for the town and for the people and for this, like this building, which is a metaphor. I hate to use the word metaphor, but it was an English major. And it's not a simile. There's no like or as. What's gone on both in the world and in the town and in the people in the town,
yeah,
and so forth. And so I like the glass, but the thicker, that's yeah, cool. And yeah, I like, I like the old guy pulling the fish bones out of his mouth, mm-hmm, and laying them on the side of the plate, because I know I've seen that. That's an old timer thing to,
yeah,
do. You know?
Yeah,
very old timer thing.
Thanks.
To do in all cultures and stuff. Well, it's a great book, and it's going really well. And are you still on the book tour and traveling with it and all that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to just keep hoping that people continuously find the book and they stay interested in it. So I'm out there pounding the pavement, doing whatever I can, going to independent bookstores and trying to get the word out there. So, yeah.
But, you don't have to pay the advance back, so I would relax.
Yeah, but they've been great to me. Everybody at St. Martin's, the Flatiron Building, and so I'm just trying to do my best to do them right.
That's great. Shotgun Love Songs, Nicholas Butler.
Thanks, Michael.
Great to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
Continue good luck. Not that you need it, you don't. Yeah, you can go anywhere you want. All right there, hey. Are we on break yet now?
We could go to break or the boys could play. It's up to you.
Oh, the boys could play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do you feel like playing, boys?
Yeah.
Do you remember old-timers pulling fish bones out of their mouth and laying them on the plate?
Like, I don't know if I remember, but as he was reading it, I thought I did.
Yeah.
Whether I did or not.
It's registered in my subconscious.
Yeah.
For some reason,
it's kind of with their finger in their mouth. Or
well, it wasn't that, but it was the fact that they would line them up perfectly parallel on the rim of the plate. So they weren't actually being very neat.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, this is the song here.
I could write a book.
I could read one.
Once again, it's Michael Felton.
So I can't hardly wait. It is a Mifflin Street block party day, old timers riot day. And Jeff had some things that,
these are things that you won't hear at the Mifflin Street block party. There's a list. Number one, this better not get me high. Number two, my name's not Dude. Number three, those guys cheat at Hacky Sack. Number four, okay, I'm going to need to see some ID. Number five, is that patchouli? Not anymore.
Jeff Hammond, bass player, stand-up bass player, stand-up comic. He does everything standing up. He sleeps standing up. I've seen him sleep standing. It's really kind of amazing. Of course, he's got the stall to prop him up. Okay. Bill Huber is from Millville, Minnesota. He's a hydrologist. That's groundwater, ain't it, Bill?
No. Surface.
What?
Surface water.
It is not.
Yeah.
It's. I'm telling you, you may be a hydrologist, but I'm telling you, you're in groundwater. Why would you care what water's on the surface? Come on down here for a second, would you, Bill? Because I got to step on everybody. Then. They don't mind it if you do it. Yeah, it's okay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hydrologist, groundwater guy.
I do surface water.
Then you're not a hydrologist.
Okay.
Because geology is all about what's under the ground, not what's lying on top of it. But I shouldn't have to tell you this.
No, hydrology is about water. Surface water, often.
Let me ask you this then, yeah. Bill Huber.
Yeah.
Where does surface water come from?
The sky.
Okay. But where does it end up?
The ocean.
You're really evasive. I'm surprised you didn't go into law as a career.
I thought about it.
Yeah. Surface, well, it's nice to meet you. All right. You want to ask this question? I don't know. Kind of stupid, but go ahead.
Okay, you want me to?
Go ahead.
All right. If you and Garrison did a show together, who would be more intimidated, you, Garrison, or the audience?
Garrison Keeler? Well, I don't know. I've never worked with a man, but I am a bit intimidating, as you can tell just from this interaction.
Yeah, and that's why...
He's pretty good at what I've heard of him. He's pretty good at concealing any intimidation he might feel.
Yes.
So I don't think you'd see any change. Plus, has he got the beard now, or doesn't he? Okay, well...
He's on the radio. So I didn't know you still had a beard.
I think it would be a toss-up as to intimidation. It doesn't bother me at all.
You're intimidating, he's intimidating, so the audience might be uncomfortable.
I think it would be very uncomfortable. Let's not do it. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, you bet.
Think with that surface water. Don't try producing any shows or anything. Surface water, that's a good one. It's groundwater, isn't it?
I think it is.
Yeah. Huh?
Hydrogeology is groundwater.
Hydrogeology is groundwater. But a hydrogeologist is surface water? It doesn't make any sense.
He's a hydrologist.
Huh?
He's a hydrologist.
Right? Hydrologist?
Yeah. So there's no geo in
there. Oh.
Take the ground
out of a hydrologist, and you get you. Get Bill from Millville. Okay. Oh, now we got people here from Eau Claire. And since this book really is about the greater Eau Claire, I was wondering how they reacted to it. Where's Deb from Eau Claire? Okay. Keith from Eau Claire. Okay. I could just lean over here and get the Eau Claire people. Thank you for that. You're not from Eau Claire yourself, are you?
No, Medford.
Medford is nice, too. Somebody should write a book about Medford, you know. That'd be a good one. Deb, yes, and both of you. Yes, let's get both of you here. You're both from Eau Claire. How'd you think of, did you hear the rendition of Eau Claire in the book there?
I
did. Small town.
I knew every town that you were pointing out, yeah, but I don't.
We're actually from Cleghorn.
From Cleghorn. Oh, this is unbelievable, because I'm convinced now, because he was trying to mislead me, but I think it was about Cleghorn.
Yeah. It sounded like it.
Did it sound like? Tell me what matched with Cleghorn.
Well, the elevator sounded like Oliva, but a lot of the rest of it sounded like it could have been Cleghorn or Eau Claire. The train depot being torn down sounded Eau Claire.
Jump in, anything you got. You're just making husband like gestures here. Like, what she said, gesture, you know, thing, and I need something from you.
That's my usual response, is whatever she says goes.
It's my career here that you do this at home. Here you gotta say something.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what Townie means too, but yeah. It sounds like he's mixing them all together, and it's a because Leave is not big enough to have everything that they.
Anything there that did not sound authentic as far as, you know, Eau Claire or Trempealeau County?
Well, it sounded like Eau Claire County, I'm going to say.
Okay, there you have it. Thank you very much, Deb and Keith, in support of the book. Thanks very much. You were a lot better than he was. And you did. You both did a good job, I thought. Anyone else from Eau Claire here? You want to get in your 2 cents worth or around there? Yes? Are you? Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to find authenticity. The author is still here, so be careful what you say. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, you can stand up. Would you like to? You're going to put your purse down? I'm going to grab it.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm out of here with that purse. If you leave it there another second, sorry, just the way I am. How are you?
Well, it's good to meet you. I'm Pam Rhodes from Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Hi, Pam. And
my son, Nick.
Say hi, Pam, everyone.
My son, Nick, was a Boy Scout with Nick.
He was? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, cool. How cool.
Yeah, and I can hardly wait to tell him that I was here today. We were visiting our daughter, Mary, my husband and I, and she woke up this morning and realized Nick Butler would be here, so we came on down.
Oh, wasn't that great? Yeah. So was he over at your house a lot?
Well, you know, I saw him in passing, you know, and I'm just the mother, but I know...
Never say just the mother.
Yeah.
Just say just the mom.
Well, and I remember Nick's friend, Josh Swan, helping my son build his Eagle Scout project in our garage.
What was that project?
It was a Big Ape.
A Girl Scout?
No. It was a big wood and screen bird aviary. Aviary? Is that what you call it? Anyway, and it was going to, and it was taken out for rehabbing birds.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So, anyway, we're very happy to
Nick
see
Nick and
our,
Nick, huh?
We were very happy
good,
to...
Good friends?
Well, I mean, Nick, I think, was a year older. So, you know how that goes in high school. That's, yeah. But, I mean, he
it's
always...
like a lifetime.
Yeah. He always looked up to him. He was a nice, older, kinder boy to, you know, he was always pleased when he acknowledged him. Oh. So, yeah, we're very happy to see this Eau Claire boy make good.
Excellent. Excellent. Very nice. That should go on the book jacket, next edition. Thank you very much. Very sweet of you. Let's see now. Sporting goods, huh? And sporting goods? What's moving these days?
Baseballs this time of year. Yeah.
Baseballs? Oh, yeah. You sell baseballs there?
Oh, yeah.
Rawlings?
Yeah.
Is there another kind? Hard to shop around for a baseball. You don't usually shop around for a baseball.
Usually just round. And
the round and the... Yeah, you look for the stitching. I look for the good stitching on a baseball.
Either flat or
raised, yeah. Yeah, something you got to wipe the pine tar on or whatever. That'll hold the pine tar when you wipe it on. Okay. Favorite first, Pat Trapp, RN? Pat Trapp, RN?
Back.
Got a call for you. You got to get on duty. You're out of here. Sorry, got to go. Pat Trapp, right? T-R-A-P-P? Yeah, you got to go. RN? Yeah, you're wanted. Just kidding, come on. What is your favorite first sign of spring when the first ice fisherman falls in? And you know he's not going to be the last one. No, you know, I mean, there's going to be, or they drift off on their little shelves, ice shelves, you know. Oh, this ice cannot ever separate from the mainland, you know. They're out there floating, and they go to rescue them. They got a helicopter in to rescue a guy out in Lake Mendota. Daring air rescue. Floating, ice fisherman floating off on a little. Still got his sitting on his beer. Floating out to the middle of Lake Mendota. Doesn't want to be saved. Doesn't want to be rescued. That's a funny thing about these guys. Don't, huh?
Fish are biting.
Fish are biting. Exactly right. And that ice will last another couple days yet, probably. Austin from Madison Randall School. Are we out of time? Is that why you're doing that? Well, why didn't you say something?
She's about ready to blow that thing, so I thought maybe I would try to soften the blow.
All right, fine. We'll get back to him. Austin, don't leave. We're going to play the... are you Austin? I'll get back to you. Okay, later.
and get to your question. I promise you. Okay? Hold me to it. We have to know who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz, that which is about to follow. This gentleman here will now get up. And he's from where?
From Ohio.
Yeah, but where?
Akron, Ohio.
Akron. I love Akron. I haven't been there in a while. Akron Fashion Institute. My alma mater.
I can tell. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers, not so much. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners... Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. The streets belong to the people. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office lines trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Nice enunciation. Mr. Enunciation there. What was your name again?
Terry. Terry McNabb.
Terry? Very nice enunciation. Did you take speech in school?
I did. I had a speech impediment as a small child, and so, yeah, TRs came out as Fs, so trucks were always a big problem.
Thanks, Terry. Okay, who wants to play the quiz? Let's see, I'm seeing this gentleman here had just something about him. Now that I look at him again, I don't see it, but... First, yeah, come over here to the aisle if you would. You're a young man, a gentleman. It seems a little old for you.
Gentleman, yeah.
You can be a gentleman until you're about, I don't know, 50, 52.
Halfway there.
Yeah. And you are?
Dan Sinclair.
Dan, are you from around here? Or?
I've been here for a while, but I'm originally from Appleton.
From Appleton. Mm-hmm. Are you headed back to Appleton or a little tentative?
Maybe sometime soon, next week.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
My girlfriend was working at the brat stand, and you came up to order, and she said, "Hey, you sound a lot like Michael Feldman," and you were.
One of the poorer reasons I've heard, but you gotta please the girlfriend, right? It's all about pleasing the girlfriend.
Sinclair.
Sinclair. Yes. I knew it was something like that. Campbell Sinclair. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where are you from originally? You said Appleton.
Appleton.
Yeah. Appleton West?
Appleton East.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, Appleton East High School is on the south side of Appleton. I don't know what happened there.
And there is no Appleton North or South, but there is an East
there
and
is,
West.
There is, well,
is there an Appleton
direction
North?
Or high school?
High school.
There is an Appleton North.
There is?
Yeah, there's no Appleton South, I don't think.
But that's actually where you went, you said. Appleton South.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we were
so you
going
went to no school, you went to the mythical school. Did you tell your parents you're going?
Well, I lived
going off to Appleton South.
Lived right down the street from it, so I had to go somewhere.
But what was it called?
It was called Appleton East.
But it was in the South.
It was in the South.
Okay.
I mean, it might have been in the East.
And
South
the West isn't actually in where? In North.
Well, that seems like it's kind of in the middle, actually.
Which is the one that has a missile on its front lawn? Because
East is the silo. It's built like it was like a Cold War school. Oh. So like the middle of it is supposed to be like a bomb shelter, but it just looks like a missile silo.
No, but there's one that actually has an actual missile on its lawn. I think it's West.
That's probably
anyone
West.
Know that for a fact?
Nina. Yeah, they're the
Rockets. Oh, the Nina Rockets. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Get me started on the whole Nina thing because that complicates things. And so what are you doing these days, Dan?
I work for a little biotech company over in like Middleton area.
Yeah? What are you doing for them, or is it classified?
No, not
general
that
area.
I'm just a lackey scientist, associate scientist.
Okay.
My title.
I mean, chemical type scientist?
Yep. We make DNA, I suppose, would be the easiest way to put it.
Oh, just nothing, right? Yeah. I just make DNA. Okay.
Very small amounts of it.
Just you don't need a lot.
No.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah.
DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, you know, those ribbons and things up there. Lots of things on them ribbons. Someone up there plays along with you in the quiz. How does that work then, Sarah?
If somebody at home wants to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669, and you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay. According to dirtsearch.org, the number one female name to avoid if you're worried about, if you're some rich guy and worried about getting a gold digger, number one name in terms of legal records, that's what I want to know, number one name. You know, like Amanda is a name, Ashley. Number one name to avoid if you're worried about someone, you know, like Sterling, the guy, the basketball guy. If you want to avoid something like that, a situation like that, what name should you number one avoid? Female name. Let's go to the phones right now. Steve is in Columbus, Ohio. What a coincidence. Hey, Steve.
Hey. Hi, Michael.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just watching the cat sleep.
Does it do, like, funny stuff when it sleeps, or what's...
Well, no, they just kind of lay there. Be still.
So... I mean, how long can you sit there at a time watching it?
As long as it takes for them to wake up, I suppose.
Things a little slow around there? And...
Well, I'm going to have to quit smoking my lunch. That's what I'm figuring.
Okay. Well, anyhow, Steve, according to dirtsearch.org, what number one female name should you avoid if you're worried about being exploited in some sort of a financial way?
Well, I forget her name. But
that's perfect. I'm going to accept that. It probably was Jennifer. Okay,
oh,
cool.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, that was her. I forget her name is a better answer than I could have come up with. Okay. Steve, this is Dan.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Dan.
Dan, Steve. Okay, enough? Let's go. Two guys.
We have a cat, too, and we do the same thing.
Oh, I watch the cat? You guys are a little troubled, I would say. Troubled individuals we have on the show with us today. And what categories do we have there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Is this going to distract you from the cat if we do this, Steve?
No, it'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Steve, you heard those categories. Which one would you like?
How about science?
Science it is. Okay, go right to science. Are you a scientist, Steve, as well?
No, not today. Not this life.
The female cockroach will lay eggs after one of the following: after eating the male, after nesting in a drain trap, or after cuddling with the male. Female cockroach.
Dan, what do you think on that?
I don't think it's the first one. I don't think they eat the guy and
okay.
then say baby time.
Just between a drain and cuddling?
Those are my two.
Peace down. I like C. Try C.
C?
Cuddling is right.
Yeah,
yes, congratulations.
Right.
Holy cow. That was a little too easy.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay. Just left there, sir.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Dan.
People.
People. She's very proud of you. You can see it. You're doing good. No, she's
shaking,
not proud.
Her
she's shaking her head. Associate the gender with the nightmare. A, female. B, male. 1, earthquakes. 2, relationships. Okay, so on the left here we have the genders, female and male. On the right we have the things that they might have nightmares about, and they are earthquakes and relationships. I want to say match the gender with the nightmare.
I
know in my case it's male relationships.
I've never had a nightmare about an earthquake, so.
Sounds good.
Let's not use you guys as examples. Let's start with that.
I don't know, Steve. I think we go with the female and the earthquake and male relationship.
Even though it's not true?
Even though it's not true. Maybe we should go with the other one? I don't know, the one that's... He's probably looking for the true answer.
No, I'm saying you said that it's not true. I'm not saying it's not true as far as the answer goes.
I don't know what's true.
I take these with a grain of salt. I know that. So what are you saying then?
I'm going to stick with my gut, Dan. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that.
What is that? Females?
Females, earthquakes.
And males, relationships.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong. It's the other way around, Tim. very disappointing after all that.
That's one right and one wrong.
I don't know. That's some research thing. That's probably not true at all. I don't really dream of, have nightmares about relationships so much, you know. Do you have nightmares about earthquakes?
I do, actually. And tidal waves.
They got it entirely wrong. We should give them credit for that. I'm going to give you credit for that. Okay. All right. In the win column. All right, what's left?
So that would now be two right and zero wrong, and the categories remaining are current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Okay, back to Steve, isn't it? Steve?
Things I should have learned had I been paying attention.
Okay, what were you doing at the time, Steve? Or don't you remember?
Watching cats sleep.
In school? You don't, there was no cat in school.
Yeah, sure, they play outside, and then they go to sleep.
Okay. Okay, smarty pants, what's an astronomical unit? An AU. What does that actually measure? An astronomical unit?
I believe it's the distance from the Earth to the Sun. Or it's
or vice versa.
Somebody sort of clapped a little bit. I'm taking it as a good sign. Steve? Have you heard of that, Steve?
From the Sun to the Earth?
The Sun to the Earth should be the same distance.
I mean,
it should.
It's used to measure distances
in space. Depends if it's spring or
space.
Fall, I guess.
Steve, are you all right with that?
Are you all right? Are you all right in general,
you
Steve?
You all right?
I think I'll go with that.
And you say the distance from the Earth to the Sun?
I think so.
That's right. You won the one you won with.
Dan, find out whether or not Oscar Wilde said on his deathbed, either those curtains go or I do. And what do you know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts, and everything else you never knew you wanted to know by Michael Feldman from Source Books. And then commemorate last month's Earth Day with a sumptuous book to weigh down your coffee table, Christina Mittermeier's Sublime Nature, Photos That Awe and Inspire from National Geographic Books. Rise slightly above terra firma with John Collins' The New World Champion Paper Airplane Book. From 10 Speed Press, and get some inner peace with Dan Harris's 10% Happier from It Books, an imprint of HarperCollins. Steve, begin every morning like it's What Do You Know time with Stephen Brew's Breakfast Blend, and add luster to your afternoon with smooth and rich Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Stephen Brew Coffee, that's coffee done right. And then dress up your dog or cat in style with a Great Lake fish print tie-on bandana from Stellaware. Exercise your presidential sartorial talents with the Obama-rama dress-up kit, including a large magnetic Barack Obama doll and an executive assortment of clothing, and complete your collection of What Do You Know collectibles with Michael Feldman Posse stickers, Posse Plus 7 Power stickers, Michael Feldman Core Value stickers, and a half dozen greetings from Planet Feldman postcards. Congratulations to you both.
Holy cow.
Thank you. Now get one for the mailman.
Well done. I thought, Steve, hang on for a second. Don't wake the cat, though.
Thank you.
Make sure to catch a live performance of What Do You Know. Upcoming guests include Freakonomics author Stephen J. Dubner. Tickets and scheduling information are available at notmuch.com. And if you're looking to keep the laughs going, go to notmuch.com again. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, that's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulian on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we deliver delicious craft pizzas with Patrick DePula. Thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's just a few minutes away from recreating 1968 on Mifflin Street, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Sarah Nix. What's on your mind today?
Not much. The sun came out for once.
Isn't that weird?
Oh, it's amazing.
I know. That was so weird. People were shooting at it. You know, what was it? And there's a mongoose came and swallowed it again. Then it was all over, back to normal. So cloudy. Yes. How are you? Pretty good, then? Got a nice crowd here today. Who traveled the farthest to get here?
Nobody.
Who traveled the shortest to get here? Does anyone, like, live in the lobby here? Or, you know, where are you from? Yes. For where? So is that farthest or the nearest, then? The nearest? Okay. Can we come over afterwards? And we're gonna stop on the way, you know, to the riot, Mifflin riot. We can stop at your place first. You got some beers or something? Do you have funny brownies? Where do you live? Within walking distance? Because I don't want to operate any heavy machinery. Well, you know, each week at this time, I read actual memos sent in by actual listeners. Actually. I've been saying actual my entire life, and I need to stop. Since I was a little kid, I used to say actual.
Well, actually, you do say that a lot.
Yes, actually. You never do, though. It's the funniest thing.
Oh, I have other flaws.
No. All right, let's make a list. John's flaws.
No.
Number one. What's the biggest flaw is, John?
Not worth mentioning.
Not worth mentioning. Okay, so dismissing any talk of flawage. Okay, number two?
Lying about your flaws.
Lying about number one. Okay, and number three, just to wrap it up.
Ignoring the flaws.
Ignoring flaws. Yes. All seems to be one same thing.
Yeah,
pretty much. Okay, actual memos. We got some here. This goes out to everybody. To clarify any confusion, we do not accept raccoons into our facilities, even if presented by animal control or any of the welfare groups. Please call management if you are being given a hard time about this issue. Okay. I have no idea where this is from, or that they do not accept raccoons. So stop bringing in your raccoons. On Raccoon Day, you can bring your old drugs, you know. Forget that. Now it's raccoons. Turn in your raccoons. Here's another one, then, because that wasn't very good. About this. It goes out to all. A Samsung U.S. cellular flip phone was found in the parking lot last week. It has been encased in snow and ice and run over. This can be claimed at Margaret E.'s desk. Better. Now we're getting at something. I get a lot of goose memos. Apparently a lot of people live in goose areas. Okay. I don't know if they're Russian geese, but they take over areas and they throw out, you know, they take over like city halls and things. And people are afraid of them because they're pretty nasty. We're in a goose area, actually. Not only do they leave all these little cigar-like ash things around everywhere, but they're everywhere. I mean, they really, you know, and they're nasty to you if you walk past them. Very territorial. And I pay taxes for that park, you know. Okay. Geese attacks. Wildlife is a daily part of our campus. Unfortunately, there are times when commingling is easier than others. Did they change the subject there all of a sudden? As you enjoy the outdoors, be aware we are entering into the nesting stage of our geese population. I hate that stage. During this time, avoiding areas around the pond is advised. Geese are territorial animals, especially during nesting season. During this time, we have the likelihood for an increase in potential attacks. Attacking is the male goose's role, while protecting the female in the nest from perceived threats. I think it has nothing to do with that. That's just the way they are. I've seen them do that when there's like no females or nests, nothing around. Give me this, protecting. Warning signs. If a goose sounds a warning, that is your signal to leave the area. Show no fear. Geese are particularly attuned to body language. There's something I didn't know. Geese know body language. I'll give them a little body language next time I see them. And a show of fear may increase the intensity of the attack. Maintain eye contact. Geese have excellent vision and interpret loss of eye contact as an act of fear. How do they know this about what geese are thinking? I defy you to tell me what a goose... I mean, there's no room for brains in a geese's head. Goose's head. Geese, plural, of course. Stay calm, don't yell or try to hit the male goose.
Why? Who would, come on, who would do that? Try to hit the male. He goes, doing so could cause the female to join the attack, and that you don't want. All right, we're talking about the male here.
No.
You don't want
the worst thing that could happen.
Oh, that's the worst thing. Walk slowly backwards if the goose hisses at you, or it spreads its wings. Never turn your back on an attacking goose.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, many have learned that too late, I'm afraid. If a goose flies at your face, I can't read this. I'm crying. It's so intense. If a goose flies at your face, continue facing the goose. To make it easier, I guess. I mean, you know, if they fly at your face and they see the back of your head instead, they really get pissed off. If a goose flies at your face, continue facing the goose and slowly back away at a 90-degree angle from the goose. So that would be, all right, I'm backing up.
Slowly I turn.
Right?
Step by step.
Shouldn't you really turn your head before backing up? You got to maintain eye contact and make a 90-degree turn.
Because if you're turned, they could be coming
right for
your
head. I can't even do this because I got this back thing going on. You'd have to... Oh, God, I can't do that. I'm going to write this. Who is this guy? Okay. Slowly back away at a 90-degree angle from the goose. How long does this last? Nesting season is mid-March to May. Geese will return to this exact site of the previous year's nest. Hatching, maturing lasts until mid-June to July. Geese will appear in pairs during the nesting season.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what it's all about. A solitary goose typically indicates that a nest is in the vicinity, and he, in quotes for some reason, I don't know why, is a standing guard. During the maturing time, the adult geese do not leave the area. Geese will attack humans while protecting their young. This is getting a little redundant. You're going to be reading this while the goose is attacking your face. I think that's the end of it. Yes. Well, thank you for those memos. They were very helpful. And if that's your flip phone, you don't want it back. Sarah Nix, where can they send all communications?
They can send all communications to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line, all communications.
Uh-huh.
Or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there. Or if they are stamp bound, they can mail things to 820.
Stamp bound?
Stamp bound. 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706, care of What Do You Know.
Okay, thanks. And by the way, if you follow on Twitter, I'm at My Feldman on the Twitter page.
Twitters.
Yeah. Okay. How many of you heard of tomato pies as opposed to pizza pies? How come I never heard about this? I didn't even know there was such a thing as a tomato pie until I ran into Salvatore's Tomato Pies in Sun Prairie. We got Patrick DePula here from there. Salvatore's Tomato Pies with tomato pies. And they are the most amazing things in the world. Where are they, though? There he is. Come on in. Sit down here for a minute. Talk to me. Have a seat. Have seats here.
Well, something really smells great.
Yeah. You're Patrick then, right?
Yes, I am.
And who's this young fella here?
This is my spiritual advisor, Johnny Knight.
Hey, Johnny Knight, spiritual advisor. Actually, now I do see his name come up in a lot of your web stuff and Facebook stuff. What is Johnny Knight to you?
Johnny Knight is a first and foremost a great friend, but also a very talented chef.
Yeah. Is he the one behind the whole tomato pie approach?
Sometimes he offers technical support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Johnny, do you speak at all? Or
I prefer not to. I usually use a magic eight ball.
Magic 8-Ball works. Okay, so you do a lot of the actually heavy lifting in the cooking department. Your menu is absolutely astounding. I mean, this is not a pizza parlor.
Thank you very much.
This is Sal's. Man, this is amazing. You're a chef.
Yes, we are. And we're very much a chef-driven restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to look at pizza and think fast food because, you know, the large companies have kind of commoditized that into such a thing over the course of the last, like, 40 or 50 years.
Yeah.
But we kind of take it back to the, you know, when things were handmade and local ingredients were used at the turn of the last century. So.
Yeah. And these things are amazing. You brought some. This smells so good. We're going to pass out samples.
Awesome.
So just, but you be patient. Anyone who storms the stage will not get a sample. Tell us about some of the things you do with
well, some of the things we do with our pizzas. We kind of view it as the center of the plate. So, you know, any other restaurant would look at their plate and build their dishes around that. And essentially, our pizza crust is the plate. So we're creating dishes that inspire us on the pizza crust. But the tomato pie in and of itself is something that I grew up with in Trenton, New Jersey, a long time ago. It's kind of a... The tomato pie, yep, that's the tomato pie. And a tomato pie is not a pizza, per se. It's built in reverse. So the main difference is the sauce goes on the top in a swirl, and the pizza itself is kind of built in reverse.
Quality control. I don't want anybody to get sick. I'm sure it's great.
We'll be passing all this out. Thank you very much. Let's add four. Okay. The ingredients, local ingredients for the most part? What?
Local ingredients. The cheese that we use on our tomato pies, let's see. And there's 98 Wisconsin dairy farmers, two-thirds of which come from Dayton County, provide the milk that create our cheese. And then we're also making other cheeses in-house. But, you know, we're really proud of the farmers that we use, and we really think that, you know, that's one of the things that makes Dayton County what it is. So.
Mm-hmm. And Heritage Pork, is that part?
Heritage Pork. Yeah. We're proud to use Uphoff Family Farm in the town of Dunn, and we also use Fox Valley Berkshire from the Fond du Lac area.
Should one fold it and do this in that New Jersey?
Absolutely, yes.
Trenton, way to go. Mm-hmm. And you say no?
No, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. All right.
So, and the reason it's called tomato pies is because an Italian pizza pomodoro is tomato pie, essentially. And in 1912, when this style of pizza was developed in Trenton, New Jersey, tomato pie was what it was called. It wasn't until much later when pizza supplanted that, and that's because, quite honestly, it cost less to create neon signs with less letters. So they went from tomato pies to pizza.
Do you know that to be true, or is that
absolutely
a supposition?
No, that's true.
Have you spoke to a neon guy?
And... Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's
have you priced out neon signs? In front of... Is that why it's Sal's instead of Salvatore's?
Exactly. Yes, yes, yes.
And who is Salvatore?
Well, Salvatore is my son, so he's really the boss, but he's six, so he's a terrible boss.
Yeah. And, long hours.
Rather demanding, you know.
Yeah. He gives out great raises.
He does.
Great raises.
He does. Just the other day, he said to Johnny, he said, "You get 2 fives." I don't know what that means, but...
Yeah. You
know.
Did you bring your wheel with it? We got slices up to get around enough people, I guess.
You know?
Nope. Don't you travel one on your belt?
No, I do not. No, I left the pizza utility belt back at the shop.
Yeah. And were you a chef back in New Jersey? Or?
No, I grew up in and around restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so actually this is a second career for me. Mm-hmm. I stopped working in restaurants when I was family restaurants when I was 16. So I spent a long time in technology and social work, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good background for tomato pies.
Yes. Yes.
So, but then do you have actually training in as far as chefery and all that?
Nothing official. My mother, I've cooked with her since I was two. And like I said, my family had restaurants and grocery stores. And so I've been around food all my life.
Yeah. And because the menu is absolutely amazing. I mean, there are the pies, which are outstanding, better than any you'll ever have in your life. And I'm just saying right now, if you don't even think about having more pies in your life. But all these other dishes you make, too. What are some of the other dishes that you make that are kind of signature dishes?
We do a number of things. We make something called burrata, which is a soft Italian cheese. And so we're hand-making the mozzarella from Wisconsin curd. And then inside that mozzarella is like a feathered cream. So it's a soft, fresh Italian cheese, and we serve that with roasted garlic and microgreens and some other things with warm bread from our friends at Stalzi's Deli here in Madison, which I think they've also been on your show before.
Yeah.
And... We also will create another dish involving a Wisconsin goat milk boucheron, which is kind of like a soft, ripened cheese. And that's melted with Pleasant Ridge Reserve and various vegetables and served in cast iron. Our entrees are...
Served in cast iron?
Yep, served in cast iron. It goes into the pizza oven, it's melted, and it's served with some roasted bread. So, and everything revolves around what we have available locally. So mm-hmm. Our menu changes all the time.
Yeah. The opposite of fast food, slow local, all those things, but apply to a different venue than you usually see it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very. Must be very proud of what you have accomplished.
We are, and sometimes I'm astonished with where we've come two at this point.
Yeah.
You know, when we started.
Like coming to Sun Prairie, that was it.
Yeah, yep.
Who would have thought to do that?
It's nice to do it in the suburbs. Like in the city of Madison, there's plenty of places where you can find local food.
Yeah,
but you
the
know,
people are making the trail out there mm-hmm. now. They blaze new trails across some fields, mm-hmm. and the farmers are really quite upset about it in the Sun Prairie area. They're beating a path to your door. You can't get in there.
Yeah. Friday and Saturday nights are a little difficult, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And are you thinking of mass producing these and going and syndicating the whole Sal's thing?
Never.
Putting up
never.
Some neon and throw a place here and there? And
never, no.
I could freeze them, freeze them up, and then just have, they could reheat them locally.
No, I don't think we could ever do that. There's far too much work involved in getting it the way that we want it to be able to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, in your plans, do you see maybe going to... not leaving this, of course, but going to another sort of restaurant with a different focus or broader
Absolutely.
Focus? Yeah.
We're looking for a spot now in yeah. either Madison or, you know, really, really close to Madison.
And so where would the focus be in this new
venture? We would still do our tomato pies, but I'd be able to do a lot more in the way of entrees because our restaurant is kind of small in Sun Prairie, and
yeah.
we really want to do farm-to-table Italian,
yeah.
and that's usually what we try to do on Friday and Saturday nights, but usually I only have entrees available
yeah.
then. So.
Yeah. So what entree do you have, like, on your bucket list of entree?
Changes all the time. Handmade pastas, you know, roasted meats, like local lamb, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with heritage pork, we make porchetta. Porchetta is one of my favorite things to eat, even though it's not something you want to eat every day.
Yeah. Well, it's fabulous. It's out there in Sun Prairie, and it's on Main Street, right?
Yep, West Main Street. Mm-hmm.
West Main Street in Sun Prairie. Johnny? You didn't say much, but you made it count. Thanks for joining us. Patrick, thanks for bringing some pies down.
Thank you very much.
Great
thanks
to meet
for having
you.
Us.
I'm telling you, this place you got to go to.
Thank
Check
you,
out
folks.
Their website. They got a website. Check it out. Or you can like them on Facebook. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate it. Okay. Why don't we just bring those out and let's...
I have to say, it is some of the best pizza I have ever had
wow,
in my
isn't
life.
That though,
it's
amazing.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah, the tomato sauce is amazing. I don't know if it's a secret family recipe or something, but
no, their sauce is unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'll just put this here. Okay, no, we're good. Okay, so now still got time to do a little music here. Or,
yeah, let's do some music.
Yeah, a little music here.
Sounds
Anything
great.
That goes with this meal?
Well, it could. Yeah,
you
sure.
You sort of wolfed that down. Are you okay?
Yeah, I only had one piece. Jeff had two.
He did in that period of time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look,
well,
his
may still
cheeks
have
are
one.
Still stuffed. That's where it all goes, in your cheeks.
I felt bad about taking one whole one, but I guess he's got two.
You
it's,
thought
it's really
you're taking
good.
One home with you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm
taking
You're going
to eat while
piece.
You're driving there on the thruway
oh,
in Chicago?
I had to rinse my hands
Kennedy?
Off.
Kennedy?
Oh.
It wouldn't last you that long. Though.
No.
Okay. Yeah, and this tune, this tell
tune
us
is,
about it.
Well... Not much to tell, really.
Yeah.
It's a tune I wrote.
Ah, see?
But it's, you know, nothing too adventurous.
Well, what are the circumstances?
Well,
it
was, it's
it?
Written on the form and the chord changes of a famous Miles Davis tune called Solar. But I changed the melody and put it in 3-4 instead of 4-4.
So more lunar than solar.
Yeah. Well, then I flipped the name, and so but I call it, the name is Solar, but I call it Blues for Raylos. Solar backwards.
Okay. I wonder what that would sound like then.
Listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. Very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
How are you then? Pretty good? Things going good? Yeah. So you had the brownies, did you say?
No, I was just making that up.
Really? Is she making it up? Oh, yeah, okay. Just for you, huh? All right. I told Austin I would come back and get to him first thing because he... I don't want to let him down. Could be a life changer. Oh, you're going to come here? Good. Squeeze. You can squeeze through there. You're little. How are you?
Good.
What are you doing these days? Are you going to school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're at Randall?
Yeah.
My kids both went to Randall.
Cool.
To Randall Raccoons, isn't it? Still?
Yeah, but I thought you said raccoons weren't allowed in this building.
I know. Oh, you got me there, Austin. You're sharp, Austin. I like you. My daughter, Nora, actually designed the T-shirt. That's her design, that raccoon for Randall's school. Have you seen that one, the raccoon on it?
Yeah.
She drew that.
Cool.
Yeah. Just trying to impress you. Didn't work. You want to know who orders the donuts?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to know that? No one's ever asked that before.
My dad told me.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Somebody does, right?
We don't know.
Somebody must, yeah. Good. Tell your dad somebody must.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you like doing these days in school, for example? What do you like there?
Playing with my friends, yeah. So yeah.
What's your big game there? Are you like a tetherball dude?
I play kickball.
I'm sorry. I didn't really mean to insult you. My daughter was, Nora was into tetherball. What were you into at Randall, Ellie? Flag football? Did you play flag football there?
No.
So your real game is?
Kickball.
Kickball. Are you a good kickball kicker? And
no.
No? Why do you like playing it then?
Because it's fun.
Okay. And it's not all about winning or losing. It's about just kicking that ball.
Yes.
Excellent. You play dodgeball yet in school? Where they throw a red ball at you and it leaves a welt?
We haven't yet.
Yeah. But you've heard that it happens?
Yes.
Avoid it if you can. Be sick that day.
Okay.
Yeah, because some guys can really whip that thing, and honest to God, it leaves you a brown, red thing on you for weeks.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Austin, nice to meet you. Austin, ladies and gentlemen. Asking who ordered the donuts.
Mark and Lauren Ladd are actually leaving town. Is that right? Mark and Lauren, what are you doing way down there? Couldn't you sit a little closer? Do you know how hard it is for a man my age to do this? No, you don't, do you? Well, let's think about these things a little first before you seat yourself. Okay, so they're leaving town temporarily? Or you're leaving town permanently? Permanently. I'm almost there. I decided not to rush. Life is too short to rush. Don't you agree?
Right, exactly.
Are you going to the block party?
No.
You look like you might have been in my class.
Probably. Yeah.
Class of?
Went there a long time ago. Yeah.
Class of what?
73 at the UW.
Class of 73?
73.
Oh, then you're younger than me. Okay. So you probably weren't where the action was.
A couple times.
Cool. Let's go. After the show, let's just go down there. We're going down there with a bunch of people. And we're going to make some signs. And I don't know what they're going to say. Any ideas? What should our signs say?
I have no idea. 1970 was my day.
1970?
70, yeah. I started young.
How old were you in 1970?
7 or 8.
Okay, yeah, I thought I saw you around. Pretty smart, though, for a kid your age. I think you're in my poli-sci class.
I paid attention, yes.
Really shut it all down, you know. Yeah. What's your name?
Tony.
What are you doing now, Tony?
Leaving, though.
No, I know. What are you doing now, Tony?
I'm a stagehand.
A stagehand?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get to?
All over.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the money's gone, so are we. Yeah.
That's a pretty cool job, though. I bet you travel all over and you like
it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. How's your back?
Bad. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, okay. I got OSHA number in my pocket here if you want. So you get something out of that. You might as well get something from this. Right now, okay, Mark. Mark and Lauren Ladd. Get up, Mark and Lauren Ladd. This is your life. Or would you rather be queen for a day?
Queen.
Queen for a day. Give her a washing machine, shall we? I don't care what her story is. She gets a washing machine. So where are you going then?
We're going back to Indianapolis, Indiana.
Why would you do that?
Because that's our home.
You got to leave those things behind you if you're going to make any progress.
Well, you know, family's there.
Family is there. That's a good reason for being here.
Yep. Yep.
Probably the best, I think.
Okay.
Is it a job related as well?
Yes. Yeah. My job brought us here and is taking us back, both.
So it's all about her.
Absolutely. Always has been.
Okay. Well, get used to it. So, all right. And then, so your job is what?
I work at the hospital. So I'm a fellow right now.
You're a fellow?
I am a fellow, not a fella.
I know, but what does that mean when you're at a hospital?
A
fellow? Get a fellow over here. I got this thing here needs looking at.
So I am doing a super senior year after I finished my residency.
Super senior year, and what is that? Like supersized senior year?
I'm a radiologist, so I finished.
You're going to make the big bucks.
Some people think
I would follow her. Where?
That's why I'm going.
It's like the number one. Are you kidding? I looked at the figures. I've seen the figures.
Not quite, but.
Come on. You're going to make a ton of money, and this is a clean job. You don't get dirty doing radiology.
We do a lot of procedures. You'd be surprised. We do the biopsies.
Oh, I wish I hadn't heard that. So there you're going back. What do you do?
I'm in marketing.
Marketing? What do you market?
I market heat pumps and fan coils.
Good thing.
So heating and cooling equipment.
Because they have that everywhere.
That's right.
So you'll be, and then you'll be right. Did you got a job lined up for you back there?
Yep. Yep.
Cool. And what is the problem then? Something you have to see before you leave?
Oh, yeah. So we're on the tail end of our year here, and we were thinking, what should we see before we leave Madison?
We thought you would know.
Have you seen the cow with the hole in the stomach in the dairy barn?
Actually, yes.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That's about all I can think of right now. Let's take people. What should they see before they go? They've seen the cow with the hole in his stomach. Block party. The block party.
All right.
Mifflin Street. Yeah. Got it.
Mustard Museum. Mustard Museum. What?
The tiger.
The tiger?
The
Tigre out there, Midvale, where Midvale hits the Beltline there, that's where you gotta go.
What is that?
It's a lounge.
Okay.
It's like a 1950s lounge. Okay. Yeah, and the people in there have been there since the 1950s.
The same tables. They don't, and they just drink and they don't do anything else. But it's a preservative.
Okay. Great. Yeah,
good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, you've seen the cow stomach, then go to La Tigre.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Good luck to you guys going back there. Think about staying, though, because we can use you here. We're going to... okay, anything else we're going to get to? Cheryl Sprecher. You're with my husband and his longtime childhood friend. He used to live in Mayberry. Mayberry? Oh, they had a Mayberry childhood. Is that you guys? Yeah. So did you relate to that somewhat about the small town around Eau Claire kind of thing? Yeah, stand up for a second. Yeah, I know. It wasn't Mayberry. Because there is no Mayberry.
No. Well, there probably is someplace, but not around here.
Not the Mayberry.
No.
Okay. And so where was your town?
Prairie du Sac.
Oh, Prairie du Sac, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up there?
Yes.
In Sauk City?
Well, that was the rival.
Yeah. That's what I thought. There's like a yin and yang, right?
Yeah. But we're pretty much together now. So.
Did there used to be like rumbles there on the main street connecting the two?
On Maxwell Street days there was, yeah.
That was it, huh?
Look, bean shooter fights, yeah.
Bean shooter fights?
Yeah.
Over the river there?
Well, no, just like in the alleys between stores and stuff and behind parked cars.
Did you guys jump off the bridge into the...
I knew people that did, but I never did, no.
The water is shallow. I just want to point out, in case anyone's thinking that, it's like someplace it's like a foot and a half or something.
Yeah, there's been a few people that haven't made it. So.
Oh, yeah, it's a bad thing. You never did that just on a dare?
No.
You were a good boy.
Than that, yeah.
Your name is?
Steve.
Sprecher?
Sprecher, yes.
Yeah, you're the Sprecher. And right now, what are you doing, Steve?
I'm an IT manager for an insurance company.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know. It's a living.
Well, it's a living, you know, IT, whatever that is. And what do you actually do each day when you go in, if you're an IT manager? No one has ever explained this to me, so I understand it.
I manage little ITs. No, so, and just people that work in the computer side of things. We take software, replace PCs, do network things.
You get calls, and you tell them, all right, number one, plug it in.
Yeah. The binary
test. Number two, turn it on.
Yeah, that's the binary test. You just turn it on and off.
Thanks, man. Good to meet you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Oh. Now, when you stick your glasses in your shirt like that, do you ever walk around looking for your glasses, even though they are stuck in your shirt?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get two of them in there. Sometimes three.
Yeah. Does that ever happen with a drink in your hand? You're wondering where you put the drink?
Yeah. Quite often.
Maybe it's on the same conditions and whatever that is. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz, because that's what we do here. And you like quizzes, don't you? Yeah. It's all about quiz show. Sweeping the nation. The latest thing. Let's see the hands once again of people who think they should have played last time but didn't get a chance to. And that's you. You with the magic brownies. Come on, stand up here. How are you?
I'm fine.
You are?
Jerry Cooperi.
What?
Jerry Cooperi.
Jerry Cooperi?
Yeah.
Really?
It rhymes.
Did you rhyme before you married Cooperi?
Not really, but I then got a job in a place that rhymes with Jerry Cooperi.
You're Jerry Cooperi. You're Jerry Cooperi.
I'm Jerry Cooperi.
Is he a Cooperi at all?
He is a Cooperi.
All right. Before you were Cooperi, what did you rhyme with?
Cece.
Cece was a, and then you married Cooperi. Did you marry Cooperi so you would rhyme?
No, that was...
In the back of your mind, maybe, you're thinking... Jerry Cooperi, that's going to be memorable.
No, and then someone made up a poem about it. So,
what was the poem? Can we say?
Jerry Cooperi is very merry in the library.
Okay, that gets you up on stage for that. Jerry Cooperi, come on up here. Library. She's in the library business. Jerry Cooperi in the library. Holy cow. It's getting out of hand.
It is.
It's getting kind of scary.
It is that sometimes, too.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm on the SWAT team.
You're on the library SWAT team? What does the SWAT team do at the library?
Well, I have actually chased down people in my car.
For removing a book without checking it out?
No, for skateboarding on the air conditioner.
Oh, skateboarding on the air conditioner. They'll come back again, you know.
Well, they haven't yet. I mean, really? I took names.
I bet you did. Jerry Caperi's got your name, and you'll remember hers, too, after the incident. So how big is this air conditioner that
Well, it was.
They jumped
well,
over
that
the
air. Well, it was misreported. They were actually skating on the cement surround because it's really kind of hard to get on top.
You get a lot of misreports in the library SWAT team?
No, that was a patron that reported that.
Yeah, I know.
I thought that was wrong. So I went out there to
check it out. But you took names anyway.
I saw them skateboarding away, and I thought, I'm never going to be able to catch them on foot. So I got in my car, and I followed them to the park, and I demanded.
Did you dress as a skateboarder and try to infiltrate them?
No.
Jerry Capari?
I saw them.
Okay. So what do you say? Now, these kids probably would not, you know, haven't been inside the library or anything recently.
Since then?
Yeah. Never. Probably never now. But, I mean, what do you say to a group? They could be, you know, dangerous, these guys.
Well, I said, I don't want to see you doing that again. I don't want to hear reports about that again. So I want your names.
Mm-hmm. And what did they say?
They gave me their names.
Okay. How do you know their names?
Well,
did
they could
ask for ID?
I guess they could.
Voter
well,
ID?
Well, they were only about 12.
Oh, they're 12.
They
okay,
were,
that puts
it's
a different
easy
light
to
on
intimidate
it.
12-year-olds.
I never found out that was. I don't think for you maybe.
Was that? Well, no, I was more scared than they were.
Okay,
I'd never.
But you can't
done
show
that.
Fear to these.
No, you can't.
12-year-old boarders.
That's what I thought. I'd be tough.
Yeah.
To begin with, and then there would be no more problems.
And then did you find that they actually had quite a bit of rapport with the young kids, and it started a lifelong friendship, a mentoring sort of situation for you? With the border boys?
Maybe not with those particular
kids,
but I started, you know, we started putting on puppet shows. And
for them?
No.
You're saying that was a direct result of this encounter? You put
no,
on puppet
I,
shows?
No, I recruited them to do puppet shows with me.
These same kids?
Yeah, well, probably not.
No.
No, but the same age kids. A lot of seventh graders, and if you think rehearsing for a puppet show with seventh graders is easy...
Yeah.
It's not.
I never thought that for a second.
No. Puppets flying through the air.
Oh.
It can be.
It's on my bucket with a hole in it list.
Yeah. Matches anything you did as an English teacher.
Overmatched. I'm overmatched, Jerry.
I'm taking a year off. I'm not.
I think more than a year would be.
I'm not doing it this summer.
I would say 5-10 years would be a good space it out.
Maybe.
Come back in a different form entirely. You know. By the way, where is this place, the library? Is it around here?
Yeah, it is. It's in a smaller town outside of Madison.
Paoli. Because that almost rhyme with you, too.
Yeah, but...
No.
You really want me to tell you? I could... Okay.
Where is it? McFarland!
Oh,
I thought so!
Thanks a lot!
That sounds so McFarlane.
I thought you were going to
that speed trap they call McFarlane. Oh, yeah.
I haven't chased anybody down since. That was just...
McFarlane has resulted in some of the safest drunken drivers in America. Really. It's really taught drunken drivers a lesson, because if you go, like, over... If you go 31 or something, whatever it is...
I got stopped.
They
once.
Get you. Did you? It's a good thing, though.
I got a warning.
What'd they say to you? Did they just warn you verbally,
they
or did they give you...
They said, don't do it again. It's 15 miles an hour.
Did he take your name?
Well, he looked at my license.
And didn't believe you when he told
him? I'm sure he looked at my license, so in a way that's taking...
And what's it say on your license?
I'm a donor.
I get a kick out of you. You should go into comedy. Get out of the library business and just do a unique sort of...
That's in another life, I guess.
Okay.
I'm leaving library land someday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you from around here originally? Or?
I grew up in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, okay.
Lived in Medford for a little while.
Medford, okay. We had someone else from Medford, or was that your party?
That was my...
Oh, that was him, yeah. Medford. Okay, Jerry, someone out there plays along with you. How does that work then, Sarah, next?
If they want to play along, they pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. Whoa. And you ask them a qualifying question.
Okay, I got one right here. Your average centenarian, that means they're 100, in case you're wondering. Your average centenarian doesn't feel a day over what age? They took the average of and they asked him, say, what do you really feel like? Or 100, what do you feel like? This is the average or the mean, I guess it would be, age that they. So we got to hit it right on the head.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure. You're the boss.
I'll tell you, I'll give you a hint. It's under 100. None of them say, I feel like 110 sometimes, you know. Just if I ever make it, that's what I'll say. I feel like maybe 120, 122. Okay, Ron, we're looking for an average centenarian doesn't feel a day over what age? If we go to the phones right now, we find Walt in Wheeling,
Hello.
West Virginia. It's all W's, Walt.
Yes, sir.
Walt in Wheeling. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How about you?
Okay. How's your weather?
Good today.
Huh?
You're sounding good today.
Oh, thank you. How's the weather out there in Wheeling these days?
It's very mild today, thank God.
Are the ramps blooming in the woods? This is ramp time.
Well, they probably are, but I'm not looking for them.
Yeah. People love ramps out there, don't they? West Virginia, they're crazy for ramps.
Yeah, I know. I never got that myself.
Never got that. Okay. Walt, your average centenarian doesn't feel a day over what age?
85.
80 what?
85.
84?
84.
83? 82. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. You circumvented all the right answers. I'll give you one more chance. Let me read it again. Okay. Maybe it was the way I read it. Your average centenarian doesn't feel a day over what?
83.
83 is right. Oh, my God. I don't know how you did that. There's a trick to it, isn't there, Walt?
There seems to be.
It's like cutting somebody in half. It doesn't really happen. Okay, Walt, here's your partner. Jerry is your partner here.
Hi, Walt.
Jerry, yes, I've been listening to you. Yeah. Is Jerry short for something?
It is short for Geraldine.
My mother's Geraldine. Name, Geraldine.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Well, my name is Walt.
Hi, Walt.
Guess what it's short for?
Walter.
Yeah, good call.
Okay. Here's the conversation you don't want to just run into, I guess. All right, so Walt and Jerry, you are a team now. You work together, you collaborate. She's a librarian. She's going to know everything. Okay, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
What do we got there for categories?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Walt? Walter? You prefer Walt or Walter?
Yes.
Okay. Me too.
I'll take either one. Let's go with science.
Science it is. Okay, science is a very hot topic these days. And here we're talking about the tobacco hornworm who eats nicotine in the course of his job, by the way. But what does he do with the nicotine, though? They say he eats nicotine and he uses it for some purpose, you know, in the hierarchy of things. Does he use the nicotine, A, as an appetite suppressant, B, for something to do with his mandibles? That was good. Come on. Or C, for defensive halitosis against spiders?
Oh, I would definitely go with C myself.
Okay.
I agree with you then.
Yes, defensive halitosis against the spiders that are there. On the same leaf sometimes. You got to do something.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Okay, what remains there?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends?
All right.
People.
People. Okay, it's right there. Which would not be quite as awful? These are all awful things. Which would not be quite as awful as the other ones on the list to most American people? Is it A, having a head transplant? B, wearing a device that broadcasts all your data constantly? Or C, robots taking care of the elderly? Not quite as bad as the rest. They're all bad.
What's the first half of that question again?
Which would be not quite as awful as the other things on this list to most American people?
Well, it's definitely not the first one.
Having a head transplant? Okay.
Yeah,
having a head transplant. Yeah.
That's about the worst.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah. Okay. It's
not going to end well. You know, it won't end well. All those movies where that happens.
So broadcasting all your data or...
Yeah, a device that would, you know, whatever, broadcast it or read out all your data.
Okay.
Data, your data.
And C, and what... Say
C is robots taking care of the elderly.
Oh, man. That's a tough call.
Not as bad as on this list. Which one?
What's the least bad? Is that what you're...
Yeah. They're all bad, but one is not as quite as bad as the other two, which are
maybe C.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a sad reflection of how we think about the elderly.
I'm sorry. It's B, wearing a device that reads out stuff. 53% say that's terrible, but 65% say robots taking care of the elderly is a bad idea. The head transplant, I didn't get any figures on that because it doesn't really happen. So don't worry, that's
one right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it.
All right.
Long way to go for nothing,
but
that's okay.
We can still do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Walt?
Things we should have learned in school.
Okay. Walt, what field are you in, or vocation, or vacation?
I am an elementary school music and art teacher.
Oh, well, cool. You're still working. Yeah. Huh? That's great.
It's almost like, no, it's work.
No, but I mean, you know, they're getting rid of the things that they need the most. I think art and music should be the core of a curriculum.
Thank you for saying that.
But, you know, it's really right. Very important. And you're still working, that's good. And where do you do that at?
Martinsbury, Ohio.
Martinsbury, Ohio, and the school is?
Ayers Elementary.
All right, Ayers.
Yes, all right,
Ayers Elementary. Lucky to have Walt there. Walt, what would you like this time? You want to hear those again?
I think I said, what did I say?
I have no idea.
I think you may have said things you should have learned in Ayers.
Yeah, that
did
was
you?
It.
Okay. Things you might have learned in Ayers.
Yeah.
Had you been paying attention. What can't an elephant tell from a human voice? Okay. Elephants are actually, they get stuff from human voices. What can't they tell from a human voice? Is it their age, sex, or what school they went to?
What school they went to?
I think that's it.
All right, all right. Yes, that's right. What school they went to? They can tell your age, your sex, and whether you've ever seen an elephant before. They probably could get that pretty easily.
They can tell your age? How do they do that?
I don't know.
How many times?
And how do they ask them? Anyhow, yeah. Categories: current events, places, or odds and ends.
True, I guess someone did the research on it. I don't know where. Someone's doing
still a mystery.
Pretty extensive elephant research to find this out.
Yes. Walt?
Yes. What would you like?
Well,
do you want to try current events?
Sure.
Okay. Do you listen to NPR a lot?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
Okay, nationally, it's been announced that the Republicans would like to be the what device party?
Device?
Yes.
Are you going to give us some multiple?
A spokesman for the Republican Party said the Republicans want to be the name of the device, party. Very popular device.
Okay. Smartphone. Throw out some devices, Jerry. Come on.
Oh, devices.
Yeah, blender.
Colostomy bag.
colostomy bag. devices.
See.
Automobile.
I am drawing a blank.
Artificial heart.
Artificial.
I'm sorry you said throw out devices.
I thought this was going to be multiple choice.
The something or other party, a very popular device by name.
In
other words, they want to orient around this core of individuals.
Who GPS? I don't know.
GOP goes GPS. I see.
GPS or UPS? Which one?
UPS is good too, but we're getting
device.
Well, name of a device.
What would
party, which would immediately signify a certain thing to the electorate.
What would tie into less taxes?
Don't be thinking about issues here because they don't.
I'm overthinking it.
Yes. Yeah, don't overthink this. A device.
No.
Blender.
I said that already.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got it. They want to be the iPhone party.
I was going to say that now.
Yeah. iPhone, not smartphone, not Android.
There's a GPS in an iPhone.
I can't tell the difference between the two things anyway.
Okay, so
that would be two right and two wrong.
It's like pulling teeth.
This is tense.
It's really wearing me down.
All right.
Thank God the block party's coming up. I can release some of that energy.
So the categories left are current events, places, or odds and ends.
Okay. Walter.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go odds and ends.
This is it for all the money or not. Odds and ends. Can you make your dog yawn, or can your dog make you yawn? Or both? Or neither?
I would say both.
I would say that too. Or
have you yawned, seeing your dog yawn? They look so silly when they yawn. Are you going to do that?
I don't have a dog.
No, I don't have a dog
They
either.
Yawn, though. Okay. They do yawn. Right.
No, I'll bet if a dog yawned, I would yawn.
I would, too.
And if he smelled his butt, would you do that, too?
No.
No comment.
What if he cleaned himself like they do? Would you do that? Come
no
on.
No comment.
Think.
Well, okay. Walt, how about if we say we make them yawn?
I'll bet if I yawned, a dog would yawn.
Yeah, but
you're going to go with that?
Yeah, let's go with
yes.
that.
That's
let's
it, yes. You can make a dog yawn. Try it. It's so much fun. Holy cow, you've won the quiz.
Jerry, you can thwart the penguin conspiracy for world domination with the Avenging Narwhal, constructed of hard vinyl with detachable unicorn tusk, ready to impale a devious penguin, which is included from Archie McPhee.
Oh, that's great. I want that.
Walt, double your reading pleasure with two great Michael Feldman books, Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious Minded, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Two books you're giving?
Well, that was the first one, yeah. And the second one is Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, with illustrations by John Seeger, from Terrace Books.
I can't wait.
You'll love it.
And both of you can enjoy the sweet blend of garden fresh tomatoes, jalapenos, bell peppers, and onions in a jar of salsa from Sanchez Specialties in Almond, Wisconsin, a cut above the rest. And prove your mental mettle playing What Do You Know the Party Game, including the Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to you both.
You guys cleaned up.
Thank you.
We cleaned up our office. It's been lying there in the back. Thanks very much, Jerry. Walt, hang on. Make sure you get the thanks for playing.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Nice work. All right. We got a little number here for anything else you wrote backwards?
No. I thought we were going to do a time of the week.
Do we have time?
I don't think we really have time.
No,
let's save it.
No, we really don't, yeah. How about a little something dedicated to time of the week?
Okay. What is time of the week? No, well, it doesn't matter, I guess.
It's not this week. It's next week anyhow. So.
Yeah. I thought you meant as a concept. Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's springtime in Madison. Here's a Saturday morning idea for you. Stop by the farmer's market, grab a donut, and see what do you know? We're live each Saturday through May 17th. Reserve your seat today at notmuch.com. And if you are planning your next Madison outing, why not bring the whole gang to Monona Terrace for a live What Do You Know broadcast? Click over to notmuch.com for special group pricing information and get your tickets today.
Is that it?
Well, I could also say that Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. You, Mr. Michael Feldman, are our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our... Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Martin Babcock, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Cole.
Thanks for coming, all y'all. Thanks for being here. Join us again next week. We'll be here. You'll be here. Talk to you next week. Boys in the band. Don and Jeff. Aaron Nick. It's all right. Sit down. Sit down. You don't have to stand. You must be tired. You keep plotting, but you have to...
PRI, Public Radio International.